Thank you very, very much. It's always a great pleasure and privilege for me already. It's been a number of years. What I was supposed to address B'nai Torah, aspiring B'nai Torah, committed B'nai Torah, people who really are B'nai Aliyah, those who have come to Eretz Yisrael to really continue to grow in their learning. Such a special yeshiva, it was such a special privilege to talk to so many of you, Talmidim, this morning and see how much is being accomplished. And certainly, I say all the time that my current personal relationship to Torah, whatever kind of excitement and commitment that I have nowadays, today, at my current age, I really in many ways feel like I'm still living off of the years that I studied in Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael. That's when I really achieved in my life the kind of attachment to Torah that, in retrospect, it turns out that whatever I still have of it, I'm not saying that I'm at the place right now that exactly where I was in yeshiva, but it's 34 years ago, a long time ago. I still feel like the excitement and energy that I picked up then is really what I'm still living off of. So there's no question that this year or these years that you're zochet to spend in the Kosle Beis HaMedrash will very much be foundational for life. Rav Yamar likes to say all the time that he wants to try to teach the Talmidim not just a Torah that is in a separate compartment and distinct from life, but a Torah that informs, that breathes life into, and that animates and colors every aspect of a person's life. That's the type of Torah of Yeshivat Shalvim. It should be a Torah that animates and inspires and has something to say about day-to-day life. The Torah that you learn this year will be a foundation for your lives. At the same time, there are some aspects of yeshiva that aren't quite exactly like what most of you are going to experience as regular life. Regular life for most of your lives is not going to be sitting 3 star a day in yeshiva. And there's something somewhat monolithic, monochromatic, about a yeshiva experience. And I'd like to speak a little bit for a few minutes about the different colors and hues and tones of religious life that may sometimes get swallowed up in a yeshiva, which is monochromatic, and everybody pretty much sticks by the same schedule. And everybody has morning Seder followed by Shir and afternoon Seder. You do Be'im in the morning, you do Bekias in the afternoon. There's some room for diversity, but honestly, not all that much as compared to what life throws at a person. So Torah is for sure the groundwork, and it's good that we're all starting in the same spot. We all need the same Torah as the foundation, as the groundwork. But I'd like to talk a little bit about diversity in Yiddishkeit. Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch very, very famously took Yitzchak and Rivka Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Rivka Imenu, took them to task. We don't like to criticize the Avos HaKadoshim. We couldn't do it on our own. But when someone as great as Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch does it, we have to learn it. A great Torah scholar said it on the words, Vayigdalu ha'na'arim. The boys grew up, Yaakov and Esav, they just grew up. And Rav Hirsch says that Yitzchak and Rivka made a parenting error in assuming that Yitzchak and Rivka both should have the same, that Yaakov and Esav should both have the same schooling. They should both be brought up in the same way. Vayigdalu ha'na'arim. Memela, what happened was, Vayhi Esav ish yodei tzayit ish sadev, Yaakov ish sham yoshev ohalim. When you give, try to give the same education to two people who are have very, very different temperaments and need very different things, you're going to end up with a Yaakov and an Esav. In this week's parsha, we're going to read about how every father blesses his child on Friday night, and how every parent is supposed to bless their child, and you're supposed to bless your kid. Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim v'chemenashe. May you all, little tzaddikals, be like Ephraim and Menashe. You want your kid being Menashe or Ephraim? Which one do you want your kid being? Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim v'chemenashe. Ephraim sat and learned all day with Yaakov Avinu. Menashe was the cosmopolitan child. He was B'hu HaMeilitz Ben Osam, Chazal said. He knew Egyptian. He was involved in the world. And yet we bless our kids. Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim v'chemenashe. We recognize that kids are different. Right after that blessing of Ephraim and Menashe, the Torah has a couple of very enigmatic psukim. I should have had a chumash in front of me, but I'll paraphrase, you'll trust me on it, something along the following lines. I think it's the beginning of Perek Mem Tes. So Yaakov gathers his children together, and he says as follows. Hey, Asfu, get together. Va'agida lachem eis asher yikra eschem ba'achris hayomim. Gather together so I can tell you what's going to happen to us, the Klal Yisrael, in the end of days. And Rashi famously says, based on the Gemara Pesachim, Bikesh legalos lahenes akeits. Yaakov wanted to tell his sons about when Mashiach is going to come, what life is going to be like around the time of Mashiach. V'nistalka mimenu shechina. He was not able to reveal that. The shechina left him. He wanted to tell them it left him. And the Gemara Pesachim adds in what it doesn't say in the Chumash. So he thought maybe there was a psul amongst his children. Maybe somebody wasn't from. And immediately all of his sons belted together and said, what? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And Yaakov responded, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Lolam Vay. I just have one kasha with this story. Well, if there wasn't the psul in the kids, why wasn't he allowed to reveal the kids? Again, let's review. What happened here? Bikesh Legalos Zekeitz, he wanted to tell them over about Mashiach. And the Shechina left him. So he was choshish, maybe the reason I couldn't reveal the kids and the Shechina left him was because maybe there was a psul over my kids. So the kids said, no, there's no psul, Shema Yisrael. I says, oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Kvod Malchus Lolam Vay. Okay, so if there was no psul, why wasn't he able to be Megala the kids? And then what happens in the next pasuk? So good. So, hey, Asfu, come together. Let me tell you what's going to happen at the end of days. Okay, so he doesn't do that. So what does he do? He starts giving blessings to each one of his children. Ruvein, Bechoriatas, Rashis Oni, Yeser Seis, V'yeser Oz, Pachas Kamayim, Altosar, etc. Shimon Malevi Achi, Kleichom, Mecherosev, Besod, Batam, Anashi, etc. Yehuda, all the kids. He gives them blessings. Or does he? On the one hand, it sounds like he's giving them blessings. At the very end of all this, the Torah says, Ish asher kivir chaso b'irach osam. Sounds like he gave them all blessings. Yet, if you read through the blessings, many of them don't quite sound like blessings at all. They sound a lot more like curses, frankly. So what's going on? Did he give them blessings? Did he curse some of them? Some of them got blessings. Some of them didn't get blessings. What's he doing exactly? The Gemara teaches us in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Yom Beis a harrowing Gemara, a harrowingly striking, terrifying Gemara for parents. But I believe it's not just terrifying for parents. It's terrifying for everyone. The Gemara says a parent has to be very, very careful. And I would say a Rebbe has to be very, very careful never, ever to show favoritism to one child over other children. Another time where someone took one of the Avos to test. This is not Rav Hirsch taking one of the Avos to test. This is the Gemara taking one of the Avos to test. And the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yudalev Beis says, a person has to be very, very careful never to show any favoritism to one child over another. Because as a result of a few extra measures of silk that Yaakov gave his son Yosef, because of that, the brothers became jealous and the whole exodus in Egypt occurred because of that act. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. We've been reading for 3 weeks about the hatred of the brothers, about the jealousy of the brothers, which is the cause of Galus Mitzrayim, and you know that enmity between Jews has been the cause of so much strife in our people. The Gemara says, of course, Sinas Chinam was the reason the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And there are many Mamari Chazal that talk about that we're still suffering from the pain of Mechiras Yosef, of hatred between brothers. At the very end of these blessings that Yaakov blesses all of the kids, the pasuk says, as I mentioned before, Ish asher kivir choso beirach osam. And Rashi asks, why does it say Ish asher kivir choso beirach osam? It should have said Ish asher kivir choso beirach oso. He gave each one the bracha according to his bracha. Ish asher kivir choso. Each one according to bracha beirach oso. Says Rashi, even though it's true that Yaakov gave each child his own independent bracha, he wanted to bless all of the brothers with each child's bracha. Which means, let's say he identified one of the brothers, Naphtali, as a great runner. So all of Klal Yisrael should look at Naphtali and take from him that midah of being an excited person. Yisachar was a great learner. He worked hard, he toiled hard in learning. Maybe somebody else doesn't have difficulty working hard in learning. He should look at Yisachar and take Yisachar as a role model. Each one of the Shvatim was known for a different midah. Each one of the Shvatim had a different talent. What was Yaakov Avinu doing with all his 12 sons right before his death? He was identifying the unique talents and abilities in each child. Now, some of them used those talents at some points in their lifetimes for bad. And Yaakov was identifying, hey, Reuven, Shimon and Levi, you have these kochos, which you sometimes use for bad. But you should know that fire and passion that you had to try to defend the honor of your sister, which you took a little bit too far. You should know that passion, Achalkim b'Yaakov, Afitzim b'Yisrael, that's actually worthwhile. It's usable in the service of Hashem. There are 12 tribes, gentlemen. There are 12 tribes because Hashem doesn't want every Jew to be exactly the same. Every Jew has different talents and abilities. For some Jews, to learn 10 hours a day is nothing, is easy. And other Jews, it's a real struggle to get through learning 10 hours a day. And that's okay. And that's the way it's supposed to be, gentlemen. We're not all supposed to be the same person. If Hashem would have wanted all us to be exactly the same, He would have created one of us. That's why there are 12 tribes, gentlemen. I would suggest that's why right before Yaakov Avinu does this, he says the words, "Hey, asu va'agidalachem, eis asher yikrachem ba'achos hayavim." Hikavtsu v'shimu hikavtsu. It says, "Hey, asu," and hikavtsu. Because exactly at the moment that Yaakov was outlining to each tribe what their unique individual strengths and kochos were, he needed to stress to come together. That's what Rashi says. Ish asher kivirchaso beirach osam. He blessed all of Klal Yisrael that they should recognize and respect that this one has his talents, and this one has his talents, and this one has his talents. And we need to respect the differences and not think that every Jew is supposed to be the same. And I'd like to suggest the following, gentlemen. I'd like to suggest, to answer the question that I began with, what happened? He wanted to reveal the Kates. He wanted to talk about Mashiach. So Yaakov in his mind thought it could be one of two problems. Either the problem with my kids is Bein Adam LaMakom, or it's Bein Adam LaChavero. So first he thought it was a Bein Adam LaMakom problem. And they all responded and said, "No, Shema Yisrael, we're all equal. We're all the same. We all believe." And he said, "Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuzo." But then when he went to identify the differences of each one, and he said, "He come too. Hey, Asu, come together. Come together so I can tell you." They weren't all the way there yet in that regard. The brothers were not all the way there yet, and that's why he couldn't be Megal the Kates. Because we find time and again what prevents the Kates is a lack of achdus in Klal Yisrael, a lack of togetherness, a lack of proper, healthy respect for differences. Like the brothers didn't respect Yosef's differences. Like the brothers felt Yosef had to be exactly like them, and Yosef was dreaming a different kind of a dream. He was dreaming of a different life. And gentlemen, this is one of the dangers of yeshiva life. Because in yeshiva, everybody has to be towed to pretty much exactly the same line. Everybody has to go to morning Seder, and please don't accuse me. I'm advocating 100% that everybody has to go to morning Seder. And I'm advocating 100% everybody has to go to afternoon Seder, everybody has to go to night Seder, everybody has to do exactly what you signed up. You know what you signed up for here. You got to keep the Sidrei HaYeshiva. Because Torah study is the foundation for all 12. Torah study is needed by everybody. It's a foundational. This year is your foundation. Foundation for life. But the way each one of you expresses that in life is going to be different and unique. And we need to respect that. We need to not demand that everybody do exactly the same thing and in exactly the same way. And we live in a world that every time somebody does things a little bit different than me, it's time to scream at them and yell at them and say, "Oh, that had the intent to put other people down. Oh, he doesn't do it like me, so, you know, it's not as good as me. And that yeshiva has their derech, and this yeshiva, only my derech is the only real derech. And if you learn like me, then you're really learning. But if you're learning somebody else, somebody likes to learn more halacha, somebody likes to learn more bekiyas, somebody likes to learn more be'ian, somebody likes to do daf yomi, someone else says, daf yomi, that's not learning. This is the danger. And this danger is especially poignant and dangerous during yeshiva years. It's during the years of yeshiva where you see this happening the worst, because everybody's doing one thing, and some people have an easier time with the schedule, some people have a more difficult time, and some people want to do it in a certain way, and whenever somebody doesn't do it exactly like I'm doing it, it's like, whoa, you must be a second-class citizen because you're not doing it the way I'm doing it. Or you struggle a little bit more. Or one guy wants to play ball during the break, But I worked hard on myself to get rid of playing ball during the break. I learned during the break, so how come you're doing it?
Maybe that makes you a second-class Jew. I'll close just with this. The way it really is supposed to be, gentlemen, is we're supposed to learn from the talents of everybody and learn from the differences.
Every Jew excels at something. Every Jew has unique and individual talents, just like Yaakov Avinu identified the different talents in each of his sons. Every Jew has what to contribute. We all have to keep Taryag Mitzvos. There's no compromising on that. We all have to have the Torah inform our lives. But within that, there's a lot of room for different people's expression, and we need to respect that. That's what Yaakov was doing. And that's why before he identified the differences, he said, "Hey, aspu v'agidalachem, he kovtsu, come together." I once heard the following quote in the name of Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, and I'm not going to get it exactly correctly, but you'll get the idea. Somebody recently wrote an article that he thinks that the problem with modern Orthodoxy is that the yeshivish world has Talmud Torah, the Hasidim have Tfilah, Lubavitch has Kiruv, Satmar has Bikur Cholim. Everybody has a lot of communities. The Yekis, the Germans have like Diktuk, the Mitzvos. They're like punctual with time. Everybody has their shtick. But what does the modern Orthodox world have? We don't have any shtick. So he was suggesting that we need to find what our shtick is. And he suggested that's why people are leaving modern Orthodox. I don't agree with that. I think that Lubavitch is supposed to be a role model to us on how to do Kiruv. And Satmar should be role models to us on how to do Bikur Cholim. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, arguably the father of the day school movement, although he probably, if he would hear that, he'd probably turn over in his grave that somebody would say that about him. He was definitely from the yeshivish camp, I don't mean to suggest, but he really was the father of the day school because he started Torah Mesorah. My grandfather was his assistant, and my grandfather, he passed away 2 years after starting. He started Torah Vadas, which is the yeshivish yeshiva. Then he used to call himself Mr. Mendelovich. He started Torah Mesorah, which started all the day schools in the United States 50 years ago,
70 years ago already. So Shraga Feivel used to say as follows, "What do I want from my Talmidim?" He used to say, "I want my Talmidim to have the Pintlichkeit of the Germans," that's the care for detail, "the Lumdus and Hasmada of the Litvisher, the brand, the excitement of the Polisher," that's the Hasidim, "the Hinder Mitzvah of the Hungarisher, and the Tumimistikheit of the Americans." This was in the 40s and 50s when he was starting Torah Vadas. And I would add, and the Kiruv of the Lubavitch.
We have to learn from everybody. That might not be our thing. We may not be as good as Lubavitch at Kiruv. But we have to learn from them how important it is to be Makari, those people who are not the way we are. We might not be so medactic bizmanim like all the Germans are. But we have to learn and try to get as close to that as we possibly can. We may be different. But we have to learn from everybody and respect everybody. And I believe very, very strongly with every fiber of my body, and I would suggest that this piece of Torah sort of hints to that. That when we can figure out how to do that, that will be the case. That will be when Yaakov will be able to be Megala the case, when we will finally be Megala the case, when we will atone for the Sinas Chinam and finish atoning for the Chet of Mechiras Yosef that caused the separation in the first place. When we could finally figure out how to respect, how every member of Klal Yisrael can respect the differences of all those who want no compromise on Torah Mitzvos, no compromise on Taryag Mitzvos, no compromise on any Halacha, Chas V'Shalom, is that what we're talking about. But within Halacha, to realize that Harbi Jerachim Lamakum, that there's B'chol D'Rachecha Da'enu, that Torah has something to say to every aspect, I believe very strongly that as soon as Klal Yisrael finally gets that message, Mashiach will be right around the corner. Thank you for listening.